acting, advanced planning sucks, seems to be the wrong lesson to take from that whole incident. Anyway, SEC units were shipped as cargo on company transports, and I didn't even have any old procedure documents for ship-based actions in my archive. The only ship-to-ship attack I'd participated in had been viral, and I'd almost destroyed my brain during it. Speaking of which, my alert monitors on comm and feed weren't picking up any attempts by the hostile to make contact. That might just mean they already knew there was no bot pilot to attack with killware or malware. I went up the ramp past the crew lounge toward the control deck. My drone had zipped ahead up into the base ship and through the passage to its bridge. When the bridge hatch opened to let Rajpreet out, it slipped in. Now I had a camera view of the sensor display surfaces floating above the control boards. Mihail sat in a station chair, sweat plastering their light hair to their forehead. Roa was on his feet, pacing, dark brow furrowed in thought, one hand pressed to his feed interface. It looked like a clip from an action series, right before something drastic happened. Then something drastic happened. The hit wasn't at all like the way they show ship combat in the media. I felt something more like a power surge than anything else. Gravity fluctuated just enough to thump me against the bulkhead, and the ramp lights flickered. A flood of automated warnings came from the facility engineering pod, and then the feed and comm cut out. I scrambled to pick up the base ship's feed, then gravity fluctuated again as the facility's drive went offline and we switched to reserve power for life support. My drones scattered as the gravity flux interfered with their propulsion, then pulled back into formation. On the base ship bridge, my drone watched as Roa and Mihail froze like a scene on pause. Then Roa said, "That was an impact." Mihail's voice was hoarse as they cycled through displays. "On the facility's drive housing. A locator missile. Attacker must have fired it when they spotted us leaving the wormhole." Oh, shit. Seriously? Oh, shit. My organic parts had a reaction that reminded me how lucky I was not to have a digestive system. We didn't blow up in the next 10 seconds, so I pushed off from the bulkhead and kept going toward the facility control deck. I stepped through the hatch. It was a small, hub-shaped control area, with the stations for attaching lab modules and everything else the facility needed to do when it was sitting on a planet. Oversay was in the pilot suite, though right now the base ship had control. Rati was hanging on to the back of the comm chair. Both looked frantic. From the flashing displays, frantic was the right reaction. "I can't reach Roa on the comm or feed," Rati was saying. "It's all down," Oversay reported. "Arada," she began, and then grimaced as she remembered there was no feed. No one outside the compartment could hear her. "Damn it!" I told my drone in the cockpit to establish a connection between Oversay's and Arada's interfaces and the base ship's feed. I said aloud and on the feed, "Base ship, I've re-established a temporary connection to the interfaces on the facility control deck." Roa replied, "What, SEC unit? Can Arada hear me?"
"She's not,"
Oversay began. Then Arada swung through the hatch on the far side of the control deck. Oversay's face twisted with relief, and she bit her lip hard, then added,
"Here she is."
"I hear you, Roa," Arada said, her mental voice hurried but calm. She reached to squeeze Oversay's shoulder and nodded to Rati and me.
"Can we tell where the attacker means to board?"
The words, "means to board," made something uncomfortable happen to my organic parts again. Maybe similar to what Rati, who had just made a little irk noise, felt. This would have all been a lot easier if I wasn't so worried about the stupid humans. Roa's voice stayed calm, but my base ship bridge drone saw his expression as he said, "Looks like they're heading for the lower level facility hatch, the lab level. I've sent Rajpreet down there. Rati and Oversay exchanged horrified expressions. Arata set her jaw and told Roa,
"Understood."
She looked up at me.
"Sec Unit, could you please?"
I said, "On my way." I ducked back out to the corridor, telling one of my drones to stay in the control deck as a relay. The center foyer was just around the curve, and above it, the gravity well access to the base ship. Safety protocols had engaged an air barrier which allowed solid objects, like humans and sec units, to pass through, but blocked airflow, so the atmosphere couldn't rush out if a seal breached. Leading down from it was a second gravity well that had ladders and a set of stairs for use when the facility was sitting on a planet. Without fluctuating power to worry about, I could have just stepped in and floated down to the lowest facility level, but getting smashed to pieces against a bulkhead wouldn't be handy just now, so I swung down the ladders instead. Ozone and smoke that the scrubbers couldn't handle hung in the air, and the lights fluctuated. Via my control deck drone, I saw Arata tell Rati, "With the feed and calm down, we're going to need a head count to make sure everyone's accounted for after that hit."
"Right, right. I'm on it."
Rati hurried out the hatch toward the living quarters. From the bottom of the well, I took the central ramp around and came out into the junction for the lower lab level hatch. The smoke here was thick enough for me to pick it up on visual. Specialist Rajpreet was already there, having climbed all the way down the gravity well from the base ship. She had a sidearm. There were a couple in the bridge emergency kit, ready to defend the hatch from a boarding attempt. "It's always nice when a human looks relieved to see you." Her voice was mostly steady when she said,
"I don't think we have much time."
I used one of my drones to add her to my feed relay, and she reported,
"Roa, Dr. Arata, can you hear me? Sec Unit's here at the lock."
I said, "What's our status?"
Arata said, "Oversay is comm partially active."
On cue, the comms emitted a burst of static, and Oversay's voice said,
"To all facility crew, comm and feed are not responding. Please report to the facility crew lounge immediately and wait for further instructions."
Roa said, "Sec Unit, I need to make an announcement. Can you relay me through the facility comm?"
"Sure, I don't have anything else better to do."
I said, "Go ahead." Over the comm, Roa said, "The incoming transport is fired on us and is now making a docking maneuver aimed at the facility's lower level. Station has dispatched an armed ship, and two free merchant transports have broken off station approach and are responding as well, but they're all 84 minutes out at best. Sec Unit, can you..." The hesitation was long. "Can you repel a boarding attempt long enough for help to arrive?" Every human on the base ship and the facility was listening. It was a tricky question. It came down to how many raiders were violently determined to come aboard and what kind of weapons they had. That scenario could turn out any way from, "We thought this was an easy target, let's run away," to Rajpreet making a desperate last stand with her sidearm over the pieces of what was left of my body. If they sent an evac-suited boarding party down the outside of the hull and came in through one of the hatches in the base ship as well as this one, but that wasn't what my clients needed to hear right now. On the comm, I said,
"Yes."
Rajpreet's throat moved as she swallowed and she muted her feed. She said aloud,
"Just tell me what you need me to do."
I would definitely do that, as soon as I knew. Assuming worst-case scenario, and coincidentally getting her out of my way so I didn't have to worry about saving a human while I was trying to kill, maim, discourage a bunch of other humans, it was best for her to take up a guard position at the entrance to the gravity well, to at least buy the base ship some time. I was about to tell her to do that. A jolt vibrated through the deck, and a sudden, uncompensated surge of acceleration knocked Rajpreet flat. I hit the bulkhead and slid down as my drones scattered. The lights fluctuated again and the life support cut out, then back in.
Oh, this is not good.
My plan, make that quote plan, depended on holding the intruders back until the armed station responder or the angry raider-hating merchants got close enough to scare them off. But my bridge drone was reading displays that indicated the hostile had grabbed the facility with the tractors transports use to attach and detach modules. It was pulling us close, intending to clamp us onto its hull and drag us into the wormhole with it. From their frantic cursing, Roa and Mihail agreed. I got upright and caught Rajpreet's flailing arm to help her stand. The facility's comm came back online with a static-obscured warning alarm. Yes, great. That's really helpful right now. A survey member, Ajat, staggered into the foyer from the corridor that led to the facility's lowest storage and lab space. Rajpreet told them, "Get up to crew level! Hurry!" Ajat nodded, heading for the corridor. "Hatches are jammed to labs 3 and 4. I don't know if anyone's trapped. They're doing a headcount up there," Rajpreet said, pushing them on toward the access. I had an idea, though it had its downside. On the feed, I said, "Roa, can the base ship jettison the facility?" The base ship itself was just a small carrier, with bridge, drives, and living space for the 5-person crew. Most of its bulk was designed to be able to grab or deploy the facility module. Mihail replied, calm but breathless. "He's working on it, checking sensor view to see if our clamps are clear." So they had already thought of it. It was nice working with smart humans. Now if I could just keep them all alive. A lot of my attention was on the hatch 2 meters away from me. I was scanning for any attempt to breach it, either physically or via the hostile's feed. I tried a breach of my own through the feed, but the hostile's wall was so solid I couldn't get any kind of read off it. On my feed relay, Arata said, "We can remote jettison from here, the facility command center, if you transfer control, but we need to get the rest of the team up to the base ship." Rati added, "I'm doing a headcount now, but with the feed and comm not responding," Roa broke in, "our clamps are clear, we can jettison." Arata said, "Roa, will they be able to scan us? If they can tell we've abandoned the facility..." Roa replied, "They may be able to." They would definitely be able to. Before anybody else could butt in, I said, "They may fire on the base ship once the facility is jettisoned." "That was the downside," I mentioned. It just depended on how anxious the hostile was to get to the wormhole with the facility before the responder and merchants arrived, whether they were ordinary assholes or huge assholes, if they wanted the facility or the humans in the facility, if they were afraid of retaliation by preservation or just didn't care. The survey team members still trying to talk on the relay feed all shut up. Roa said, Yes, Dr. Arata, we don't have a lot of time. Do we evacuate and jettison or..." Still sounding calm, Arata said, "Sec Unit, do you agree we should jettison?" Oh, right, I was the security team head. If we were wrong about this, the hostile would fire on the helpless base ship and we would all die. If we stayed with the facility, there might be a chance for rescue. If the hostiles didn't drag us into the wormhole, overwhelm me and kill all the humans or do other terrible things to them. The cheap education modules the company gives sec units had never mentioned this kind of dilemma, so I didn't have anything strategic to go on. Ugh, self-determination sucks sometimes. I reminded myself I had always wanted humans to listen to my advice. I said, "Jettison." Arata said, "We jettison. Rati, confirm headcount and send everyone up to the base ship." She sounded calm and certain, much more so than Roa. "Attacker is still pulling us toward the wormhole," Mihail announced on comm, not sounding too much like someone who was restraining the urge to scream a little. On the relay, I heard Rati yelling at people to get moving, and I got sporadic drone views of survey team members hurrying into the gravity well. Roa took a breath. "Facility control, prepare for separation."
Oversay announced,
Facility module will seal in 2 minutes and counting.
Drone audio picked up someone arguing, but I had to prioritize Roa and Mihail and Arada, who were all telling different humans to do different things. My bridge drone's view of the sensor display started to show more interpretable detail. That big wobbly thing was the wormhole. The two blips way off, way, way off in the distance, were our potential rescue ships. There was no blip for the hostile because it was too close. Another vibration traveled through the deck, but this one was more familiar. Rajpreet's gaze was on the hatch display, her eyes wide. She whispered, "They attached to our lock." Whispering may have been an irrational impulse, but I could definitely sympathize. I said on the feed relay, "Hostile has matched locks." Oversay said,
"Rati, I need a confirmed headcount now."
My gravity well drone picked up two stragglers, Remy and Hanifa, scrambling up the ladders to the base ship, and Rati, for fuck's sake, coming back down. I started to tap his feed, but I picked up something on audio. It was scraping, vibrating through the outer hatch. Okay, that's definitely happening. I sent on the feed. Hostile is attempting to breach the hatch. Boarding may be imminent. Roa said, Rajpreet, SEC unit, get out of there. I told Rajpreet, go, I'll be behind you. Rajpreet backed toward the corridor access. If the hostiles chose this moment to board before we could seal off and separate, we were screwed. I heard Rati yell, no, no, through my drone audio. His voice was harsh, with fury, fear. The impulse to run to him made me flinch, but I needed to hold my position. Something had gone wrong up there. On the feed, I said, Dr. Rati, report. Rati, of all my humans except Dr. Mensa, listens to me the most carefully. Probably it has something to do with the time he was about to step out of the hopper to retrieve some equipment, and if he had, he would have been eaten by giant predatory fauna. Sounding simultaneously frustrated, angry, and terrified, Rati said, Amina and Conti aren't here. Tiago is looking for them. They aren't in the quarters or the upper labs. They must be down in the lower level somewhere. Well, shit. I had audio and visual of the base ship access through my drones, so I was able to see when it exploded. No, not physically exploded. Emotionally exploded. Humans yelling and waving their arms and other unhelpful things. You know, it's not like I'm having a good time either right now. I told Rajpreet, get to the gravity well access, and started down the corridor toward the labs and sample storage where Ajat had tried to tell Rajpreet about jammed doors. I ordered a drone to stay near the hatch so I would have some warning if anything came through it. I split the rest of the formation, sending two-thirds up the access to take a guard position with Rajpreet and telling the rest to follow me. On the feed, I said calmly, acknowledged, I'll find them. Shit. I'd made a stupid mistake. Feed access in the facility was down unless your interface was in range of one of my drones, so the connection could be relayed to the base ship, and the comm was patchy and unreliable. We, me and the humans, were too used to the feed, which made it impossible to lose track of someone, to leave them behind. With an active feed, even if you were unconscious, your interface could be used to track your location. Arada said over the feed, We're holding for you, SEC unit. Get to the base ship, Arada, I sent back. It was amazing how fast our mostly orderly retreat had turned into a disaster. My drone formation formed around Rajpreet, who was waiting anxiously at the bottom of the gravity well. At the top, base ship crew and survey team members gathered, clutching hand weapons they barely knew how to use. I just hoped nobody accidentally shot themselves or anyone else. I tapped my drone relay and saw Arada, Oversay, Rati, and dammit, Tiago, waiting at the facility access junction. Arata was talking on the feed to Roa and trying to shove a resisting Oversay into the gravity well. I started to tell them, I don't know what I was going to tell them, but it was going to involve the words, I can't do my job if none of you fucking listen to me. But then, interference blotted out the connection, and I lost all my drones in the base ship. I reached a hatch to Lab 3 that was stuck partly open, just a few centimeters from the deck. I hit the floor and directed my scan under the hatch, but I couldn't pick up any indication of a human body, living or otherwise. But drone audio detected a muffled human voice coming from farther up the corridor. I shoved upright and slammed around the curve, and oh, right. That must be the hatch Ajat had seen. The bulkhead was crumpled along the top of the seal, and the panel with the manual release had been blown in a power surge. The plastic parts were melted, and the whole hatch assembly was dripping with fire-suppressant foam where the automated emergency system had engaged. The facility's systems in this area must be down or cut off, and the emergency report had never reached the control deck. My audio picked up a muffled voice from the blocked compartment, but it was too faint for human hearing. My first impulse was to blow the hatch. Fortunately, my second impulse was to grab the manual release and pull. It didn't give, but I could feel the seal was broken. At least some of the locks that held it shut had been disengaged, which meant someone had already triggered the manual release inside, but something was jammed. I ripped the panel open and found crumpled metal pinning the release mechanism. I shoved my sleeve back, tuned the energy weapon in my right arm down to the lowest setting, and burned through it. The hatch clunked as it released, and I dragged it open. Conti jolted forward, and I caught her.
"It wouldn't open,"
she gasped. She clutched the kind of tool used on surveys for chipping rock samples, and her hands were bloody. The power inside was out, the only light from the emergency glows along the walls, and equipment and sample cases were jumbled everywhere. Amina was across the compartment, her leg pinned under a lab bench that had collapsed when the bulkhead crumpled. She was conscious and struggling to free herself. My hatchway drone showed the warning lights blinking around the lock. Yikes. I pulled Conti out into the corridor and took the tool away from her. Get to the gravity well now. On what was left of the feed, I told Rajpreet, I'm sending Conti to you. Conti hesitated, eyes wide and glazed over. Blood trickled down from a cut above her hairline. Behind me, Amina yelled, Conti, go! Conti pulled away and ran erratically down the corridor, bouncing off the bulkhead. I ducked into the compartment and went to Amina. Tears streamed down her face, her nose running in that gross, badly upset human way. She banged on the lab bench.
Here, here, we couldn't pry it up.
I felt under it carefully, where the support strut had pinned her leg. There wasn't blood, though it had to hurt. I felt marks on the metal from the tool Conti had been clutching. She had had it in the right spot, but didn't have the leverage needed to pry up the strut. I wedged the tool back in place and leaned on it. My drones met Conti at the end of the corridor and formed a protective cloud around her as she stagger ran through the foyer toward the gravity well. The strut bent back, and Amina tried to wriggle out and yelped in pain. I said, just take it slow, and managed to sound like we had all the time we needed. We did not. My hatchway drone relayed the rising energy readings from the airlock where something was trying to override the security seal. In the access tube, Rajpreet had grabbed Conti and was climbing with her up the gravity well, both surrounded by my cloud of drones. Amina wriggled some more, wincing, then reached for my arm and said,
Just pull really hard.
I took her arm and tugged, and she slid out from under the bench. I stood, pulled her with me, and picked her up in one arm. I'd lost contact with Rajpreet, but my drones confirmed she wasn't in the gravity well anymore. I told Amina, hold on, and ran down the corridor. I couldn't make anywhere near my top speed. There was too much debris, the corridor too narrow and curving. I made it almost to the end of the corridor just as the hatch blew with a loud pop. The smell of melted metal and ozone filled the corridor. My hatch drone sent me a view of hazy smoke and movement inside the lock. Time for a split-millisecond decision. Could I sprint through the foyer, past the breached hatch, up the ramp to the gravity well, and climb up into the base ship so we could close the hatches and separate before the hostiles stormed inside? Maybe? Then my input from the hatch drone dissolved in an abrupt burst of energy. I took a silent step backward, then another, keeping the motion smooth and slow. I started a quick analysis of the drone's last transmitted intel. On the feed, I sent, "Hatch is breached. Hostiles on board. Seal and jettison now." I didn't pick up any acknowledgement and couldn't tell if it went through or not. Amina was silent, holding herself stiffly immobile against my side, her heart pounding. I eased back around the curve in the corridor and stepped into the first open hatch. I set her down and mouthed the words, "No noise." She nodded, gripped the hatch's safety rail to stay upright, and looked up at me with wide eyes. I wanted to use my drones to look at her, but while that was calming for me, it wouldn't be for her. If I was going to get her out of this alive, keeping her calm and communicating accurately was going to be important. I put my face in an expression that I hoped would convey reassurance, then changed it to intense concentration and stared at the bulkhead. The image analysis finished and I reviewed it. The drone had caught a sensor ghost of something that was emitting energy and floating about 2 meters above the deck. I included Amina's interface in my relay and said, "Close the hatches, Arada. Do it now. They have drones." Amina caught her breath and bit her lip, but didn't say anything. Still, no acknowledgement. I didn't know if they could hear me, if they had already jettisoned, what the hell was going on up there. We had to be close to the wormhole by now. It sounds like I was calm, but I had no idea what the hell I was going to do. I felt feed static like a drill through the back part of my head, and then Oversay saying, sec unit, can you hear me? We've jettisoned the facility from base ship and are in the safe pod, about to launch. Can you get to the evac suits in the lower secondary lock? The base ship can catch you in their tractor. I almost said aloud, why are they in the fucking safe pod and not in the base ship? But managed not to. Amina watched me with a not reassuring combination of fear and exasperation. The evac suit thing was not a bad idea at all. Copy, we'll go for the evac suits, I told Oversay. If there was an acknowledgement, I didn't hear it. I held out an arm and Amina grabbed my jacket. I picked her up and sent half the drones ahead to scout our path. There was no sign of any hostile movement yet. I stepped out into the corridor and headed away from the main hatch foyer to the junction to the engineering pod. It looked worse than the lab corridor. Lights were down to emergency levels and the deck had buckled. Fortunately, we didn't have far to go, just straight through the pod. My audio picked up a banging and grinding noise, maybe the intruder's drones trying to get through a hatch somewhere. We reached the engineering outer hatch foyer, light from the emergency markers pointing to the evac suit locker. These were a different model than I'd used before, more expensive, where you could step into them and pull them up with an assist from the suit's own power supply. I set Amina down, and she rapidly tied her hair up, then did a one-legged hop into the suit. I ordered my drones to land on me and go dormant, and had my suit on by the time she was fastening her helmet. Something vibrated deep in the deck. Was it the safe pod launching? My organic parts didn't feel good about this. If that was the safe pod, I think they'd waited too long. Human actions often seem way too slow to me because of my processing speed, but I didn't think this was one of those times. The suits also had secure feed connections, so I could check to make sure Amina's was working and sealed properly and access its controls. "Don't use your comm," I told her over the secured feed. They could be scanning for any kind of activity, and it was easier for me to mask our feed
than the comm.
Got it,
she replied. Her feed voice was nervous, but not panicky. The suit was supporting her injured leg, letting her stand upright.
I'm ready.
I told her suit to follow me and opened the airlock. Chapter 4. Going out in space in an evac suit was not something I did before I hacked my governor module. One reason was because there's always a distance limit on a contract. So if you, being a sec unit, go more than, say, 100 meters from your clients, your hub system uses the governor module to flash fry your brain and neural system. That doesn't mean a client won't order you to do something that would cause you to violate your distance limit. It just means they'll have to pay the company a penalty for destroying their property. But the evac suits I'd used since then had such good instruction modules that it was almost like having an onboard bot pilot. This one was no exception, plus being new enough to not smell like dirty socks. Right, I should probably mention that I find 99.9% of human parts physically disgusting. I'm also less than thrilled with my own human parts. I came out of the airlock first, towing Amina behind me, and pulled us along the facility's hull. One of the first things I discovered about space was that it was boring when there were no pretty planets or stations or anything to look at. This space was empty of planets, but not boring. The evac suit had scan and imaging capabilities, but I didn't need it as something huge moved out from below us. I designated that direction as down because it was toward where my feet were currently pointed. It was the base ship, falling slowly away. The hostile was above us, clamped to the facility, a big, scary blot on the suit's scan. I tapped the base ship's feed, and without the interference from the dying facility, they heard me. Roa said hurriedly, "We've got you on visual. I'm sending coordinates, and Mihail will pull you in with the tractor." I downloaded the projected path, then said, "Where is Oversay? She reported that she was in the facility safe pod with other survey team members." Roa said, "Copy that. We're contacting them now." Contacting them now? If the safe pod had launched, it should be on the base ship by now. But I couldn't do anything about it. I had to get Amina to the base ship first. Amina said,
"What does that mean? Is Oversay and everyone okay?"
I was about to trigger the suit's maneuvering system when scan picked up an energy surge. My suit's imaging went down and the helmet plate went dark, protecting my eyes against a flash. I didn't need the protection, but the evac suit didn't know that. Amina made a startled noise. Static blotted out the feed connection, then Mihail said,
"That was a miss. Repeat, attacker fired and missed."
Rajpreet's fainter voice said,
"Are they aiming at the safe pod?"
The rest was lost in static. I ordered my suit to clear the visor and swung around so I could see the hostile. I don't know why. My suit wasn't armed. I just wanted to see what was after us as something other than a sensor blot. It was almost as dumb an impulse as some things I've seen humans do. I saw a big, dark hull, reflecting light from Preservation's distant primary. There was still nothing coming from it. No feed, no comm, no beacons. So it was like a giant, inert object. A giant, inert object dragging us toward the wormhole. The evac imaging system came back online to add in sensor data and give me a more accurate outline, making the hostile show up as part dark shape, part schematic. It was odd, since the configuration looked just like the evac scans found a registry designation embossed on the ship's hull and rendered it for me. And I recognized it. I didn't even have to search my archive. I recognized it from a transport embarkation schedule on the station I had gone to after leaving Port Free Commerce. That's art, I almost said on the feed like an idiot. It was so shocking and so weird, my performance reliability dropped, and I lost circulation to my organic parts.
And not weird equals violating norms in an annoying way, but weird equals eerie, like in Farland Star Roads, the story arc with the haunted station, with ghosts and time shifting. Or weird like I was having memory failure again, mixing up archival memory with current data collection. That was a terrifying thought.
That's what?
Amina asked. Then the ship, the hostile, Art, fired again. The evac suit tracked it this time as a spark across my scanner. It went wide, so wide I thought it must be aimed at the station responder, but it was so far away, what would be the point? I pulled the data the suit had collected about the first shot and saw it had gone wide too. On our feed, Roa said, "It's another miss, no damage." Mihail said,
"The vector was way off. I don't even think...
Maybe a warning shot."
Maybe I wasn't having memory failure.
I said, "Base ship, are you still ready to catch us?" Roa said, "Mihail, are you..."
Then, "Yes, yes, Sec Unit, go, we're ready."
The trajectory Mihail had sent was still good. We just had a little longer to go. With Amina's suit in tandem with mine, I launched us off the facility's hull. 20 seconds later, something grabbed my suit and tugged it. It was fairly gentle and wouldn't have seemed like a disaster at all, except for my suit's emergency alarms and Mihail cursing frantically on the base ship feed. The ship, the hostile, Art, had us in a tractor and pulled us toward its hull. I was facing the wrong way, and my suit gave me a sensor view. It was bringing us toward a large lock in the port hull, not that I could do anything about it. I saw Art's lab module was in place, which meant it wasn't acting as a cargo transport, but as a research vessel. Her voice high with distress, Amina said,
"They've got the facility. Why do they want us?"
I said, "I don't know. I don't know anything." As the tractor pulled us into the large airlock, Roa's voice yelled over the feed, "It's accelerating toward the wormhole. We're losing it!" As the hatch slid shut, the base ship feed dropped. I made an attempt to reconnect, but hit a wall as solid as... I don't know, but it was solid. I hadn't been in this lock before, but it still had the clean, well-kept ship look that matched my memories. If I could trust my memories. If this was real. I really needed to run a diagnostic, but there was no time. The lock cycled, air whooshing in, and the hatch slid open. It sure looked real, and my evac suit scan matched what I was seeing, scanning. No feed, no comm activity. The wide corridor beyond the lock was empty, lights tuned to medium strength, blue bands on the bulkhead serving no function except decorative. A transparent locker built into the bulkhead held a row of empty evac suits, dormant and ready for emergencies. The corridor was quiet, empty on visual, scan, and audio. The lights brightened for us, which was typical for crewed ships, which adjust the lighting based on what the humans are doing and on request. My suit read the air system level as full, which meant normal for humans and augmented humans. When Art ran as an uncrewed cargo transport, it kept its support level on minimum, though it had upped it for me. There were too many ways to kill us using the airlock, so I stepped over the seal into the corridor. I pulled Amina's suit with me to make sure there was no opportunity to separate us. The lock cycled closed behind us. On our suit comm, Amina was saying,
"Where are the crew? Why did they do this? What do they want with us?"
Then, in a smaller voice,
"Please talk to me."
I still had a client, even if I was damaged and hallucinating. If this was a memory failure, I had to tell her. I wished she was Mensa or any human I trusted to help me. Even Garathan would have been better in this situation. If I told her that indication suggested that I was having some bizarre memory crash, she would never trust me, and I needed her to trust me to get her out of this alive. Except, could she trust me when I couldn't even tell if what I was seeing, scanning, was real or not? And if this was really art, then where the hell was it? I sent a ping. It was almost like it echoed in the empty feed, like the giant presence that should be here was just absent, like the heart of the ship was hollow. Amina was breathing harder with building panic, and I needed to say something. What came out was pretty close to the truth. I think I recognize this ship, but it's not supposed to be here. Saying it aloud made it seem a lot less like a memory failure, and more like something that was actually happening. Amina made a sniffing noise. She said, "What? What ship is it?" Then I had a brilliant idea that I should have had earlier. I said, "What do the patches on those evac suits say?" Mensa and most of the others would have realized immediately that something was wrong. I never asked clients for information if I could help it. For a lot of reasons, but close to the top was the all-too-common suicidal lack of attention to detail humans were prone to. Amina stepped closer to the transparent locker. There were two rows of suits visible, one above the other. So if a suit was removed from its slot, another would slide down to replace it. The patches were throwing a localized broadcast into the feed in multiple languages, readable by interfaces and our evac suits, even while Art's feed was inaccessible, the same way marker paints worked. Amina said aloud, "Perihelion. Pan-System University of Mihira and New Tideland." That was Art's designation and registry. Okay, so? Good news. I'm not having some kind of memory or system crash. This was really Art. Bad news? What the fuck? I sent another ping. Amina turned back to me. "This must be a stolen survey ship." Her voice was firmer, less breathy with incipient panic. "I guess the raiders armed it." It was already armed. I thought, it's my friend. It helped me because it wanted to, because it could. I couldn't say any of that. I hadn't told anyone about Art. It's a deep space research and teaching vessel with a full crew and passenger complement. Between missions, it travels as a bot-piloted cargo vessel, but preservation isn't on its route.
"Research and teaching vessel?" Amina repeated. "If the raiders had a ship this big, with weapons, why bother with us? Maybe they thought we had something valuable on board? Or they just go around attacking research ships? They hate research?"
She was being sarcastic, but I knew of raiders who had done things like this for reasons almost as stupid. But this wasn't a memory ghost hallucination, which meant it was still a statistically unlikely coincidence, and that was statistically unlikely.
"Wait, you know this ship?"
Her voice turned suspicious. The statistically unlikely part must have occurred to her, too.
"Did you do something to them? Are they here after you?"
Of course not. That was a total lie, because Art had to have come here after me, though knowing that didn't make this any less baffling. It wasn't like Art's crew came here for revenge because the murderous rogue sec unit, hold it. Could they be here for revenge? I hadn't hurt Art or anything on board, unless you counted some power and resource usage that Art had expunged from its logs. That seemed a weird thing to shoot up an unarmed survey ship over. I mean, they could have just sent Dr. Mensa an invoice.
Unless somebody had managed to get aboard after I left and do something to Art and blamed me for it. One big problem with that scenario. No, wait. Two. One, getting aboard without Art's cooperation, and two, doing something to Art without getting violently murdered. I knew of 47 ways that Art could kill a human, augmented human, or bot intruder, and the only reason I didn't know more is because I got bored and stopped counting. And where the hell was Art? Where was its feed, its drones, its comm, its humans? Why wouldn't it answer my pings? I didn't forget that I had one of Art's comms tucked into the pocket under my ribs. Okay, I did forget, until 3 minutes and 47 seconds ago, but it wasn't like I'd needed to access the information until now. The comm had been deactivated and inert since I left Art on Ravi Hyrule's transit ring. If Art wanted to call me, it could have used it as soon as we were in range. But that was assuming that Art was still in control of itself. Was something else, bot or human or augmented human, controlling Art's ship body? I was starting to panic. I didn't want Art to be hurt, and anything that could hurt Art could destroy me and Amina. This wasn't helping. Start with the assumption that Art was still here, intact, but under some sort of constraint I didn't have time to speculate about, but would anyway. Had Art been able to use the deactivated comm to track me after our survey ship arrived through the wormhole? Yes, probably. But why? Why come to preservation space after me? Art loved its crew, like, a lot. It would do anything to help them. Including betray me? Was something forcing Art to do this? Did it want the facility, or was that collateral damage? As soon as it had me and Amina in its tractor, it had increased acceleration toward the wormhole. We had to be in the wormhole by now, heading away from preservation. The responders wouldn't be able to track us. At least that meant that Oversay and whoever was with her in the safe pod could be picked up by the base ship. I needed to get rid of my evac suit. In gravity, they made movement cumbersome and could be hacked if I wasn't careful. And I wasn't sure how much protection the suit would give Amina from projectiles or other weapon fire. It wasn't like it would be a good idea to go outside now, and freedom of movement was more important. I got the evac suit to open its helmet and released my drones. I told two to take up guard positions at the entrance to the corridor and sent the others to make a cautious sweep through the ship, through Art. Then I opened my suit and stepped out. Amina said, "Is that a good idea?" I really didn't need to be second-guessed by an adolescent human right now. "Do you have any other suggestions?"
"I guess we can't stay in these things forever,"
she muttered and opened her suit. I waited for her to climb out. She was shaking a little, and sweating, and favoring her injured leg. I needed to get access to the medical suite. Whatever was going on here, it would be easier to deal with if Amina wasn't hurt. I moved toward the corridor, gesturing Amina to stay behind me. My scan still picked up nothing but background interference from Art's systems. My drones were seeing empty corridors, closed hatches. I directed them toward the control deck, specifically the crew meeting area under the bridge. Somebody had to be here, bot or human or augmented human. This time, I pinged the comm system. The ship's comm chimed, an automatic response. Amina flinched at the sound. Keeping my voice low, I told her, "That was me."
"Why?"
She managed to whisper this in a way that sounded very demanding. Then she grimaced in frustration.
"Right. I guess they know we're here since they kidnapped us."
So far, my drones hadn't detected any crew. There was no response to the comm, and I moved toward the corridor. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. Maybe go up to Art's bridge and bang on the shield over its control core? This was one of the corridors I had walked up and down, working on my pretending to be a human code, where Art had critiqued my performance. Maybe that made me less cautious. That and the fact that my drones had just passed through here seconds ago. As I stepped into the corridor, something moved in my peripheral vision. This is why we have drones. Unfortunately, whatever this was, my guard drone hadn't registered its presence. I didn't see it until it moved, and that was too late. I took the hit right in the side of my head and got body slammed against the bulkhead. Performance reliability, catastrophic drop, shut down, restart. I was lying in a heap on the deck, a broken fragment of something grinding into my cheek. I knew I'd had an emergency shutdown. I miss my armor all the time, but particularly at times like this. I need the organic parts inside my head, but they have much better shock absorption in there than inside a human skull. You can hit a sec unit hard enough to make our performance reliability drop so fast and so low, it triggers a temporary shutdown. Operative word, temporary. But it's really not a good idea. Not if you want to keep your internal organs inside your body and not smeared on the bulkheads of your stolen transport. Oh, it's on now. My drones had gone dormant, and my systems weren't online to access them yet. My audio kicked back in, and I picked up sound coming from down the corridor. A voice, Amina's voice, too low for me to make out the words. I tapped the input for my drone relay feed. It was a passive connection and still transmitting. Amina's voice was hard with what was clearly false bravado.
You've made a big mistake. There are armed ships minutes away. They'll be here. Oh, little child. We're in the bridge transit. No one will ever find you again.
The voice, unidentified one, was light, arch, with an echo caused by an out-of-date pre-feed translator system.
Now, tell us about the weapon.
Amina's bravado was turning into real anger.
Our survey facility wasn't armed. If it was, you'd be blown to pieces.
Note to humans and augmented humans, no one likes being patronized. Unidentified one sounded even more amused.
You had better have the weapon we were told of, or I'll take your ribs out one by one and break them in front of your little face.
I saved that for future reference. Unidentified one seemed to have gone to some trouble with the wording of that threat. It would be a shame if they never experienced it firsthand. Another voice, unidentified too, said,
I hate lying. All these things lie.
It sounded almost identical to unidentified one, except it was slightly deeper in tone.
Amina said, I'm not lying. I don't know what you're talking about.
A little of her fear leaked through. I think she was beginning to realize she wasn't talking to an intelligence that was open to rational argument. Unidentified one said,
You lie, it lies, everything's lying. Don't think we don't know better.
Tinged with desperation, Amina said,
I can't do anything about that.
The rest of my parts were checking in as functional, and my performance reliability was climbing. The temporary shutdown had flushed a lot of stress toxins secreted by my organic parts, and I actually felt better. Scan showed the fragments under my cheek were from components shielded by a case that read as stealth material. I'd been hit by a drone, maybe the same type I'd caught an image of in the facility before evacing. It had hit me so hard it had knocked itself to pieces. None of Art's drones, at least the ones it had let me see, had stealth construction. And maybe the forced restart had definitely done me some good because I was an idiot to not think of this before.
If there were drones receiving orders, there had to be a feed active inside ART, just not on any of the standard channels. As my legs and feet came back online and I eased slowly upright, I tweaked my receivers to scan the whole range for activity. My projectile weapon lay on the deck in pieces, like someone had used a tool to pound it apart. My saved schematic of ART's interior layout came in handy as I mapped the direction of Amina's voice. Down this curving corridor, to a cross corridor, to a crew lounge area. I didn't make any noise. By the time I got to the first curve in the corridor, I found their drone control feed. It was on an encrypted channel, like a military feed. Clever. Except their encryption was practically ancient, in bot terms, if not human. My last update of my ex-owner Bond Company's proprietary keybreaker was 8,700 plus hours out of date, but it snapped their encryption like a twig. Their feed was almost empty. No voices that I could detect, just drone commands. If their encryption was old, their drone codes might be, too. I pulled the oldest version of my drone key files and started cycling through them. My own drones were still in standby as I rebuilt my inputs and connections, but they were semi-useless at the moment, since the stealth material prevented them from scanning the hostile drones. The doorway to the lounge where I detected Amina's voice was open, brighter light falling into the half-lit corridor. I meant to wait until I was back up to at least 90% performance reliability, but I heard Amina say, "There's no weapon. You got the wrong ship." The fear in her voice was more obvious, and I was suddenly in the room. Impulse control. I should try to write a code patch for that. The compartment was large, with padded couches and seats built against the bulkheads, a few low tables that were designed to fold down into the deck, and various display surfaces, now inert, floating above them. Occupants included one client, Amina, backed up against the far wall, disheveled and wide-eyed, but no apparent new damage. Two potential targets, possible casualties, both backed toward the far end of the compartment past Amina. They had visible bruises and shocked, frightened expressions. Both casualties wore red and brown uniforms, disheveled and torn, with corporate logos. Another anomaly, since ART's crew uniforms were dark blue. Two targets faced Amina and the casualties. Possibly augmented human, scan results null. Both targets turned toward me. They looked like tall, thin, augmented humans with dull gray skin. Injury? Illness? Or an uncommon skin augment, cosmetic modification. They both wore form-fitting protective suits and partial helmets that left a surprisingly stupid, amount of the face bare. Narrow human features, dark brows standing out against the smooth gray skin, both smiled with colorless lips. Accusingly, one said, "Unidentified one equals target one," to the other, "You said this one was dead." They weren't quite identical. Target one was slightly taller and had broader shoulders. "Poor thing was dead." Unidentified two equals target two responded and laughed. "Poor thing. I think a capillary just burst inside one of my organic parts." Three drones hovered behind the targets, of a model that didn't match anything in my archives. They were round, as big around as my head, the apertures for cameras or weapons hidden despite their size. The stealth material interfered with my scan, but not with the image in the organic part of my brain. It gave me an uneasy kind of double vision, where my scan insisted there were floating anomalies that wouldn't appear on my camera, yet I had a clear image in my temp data storage, supplied by my organic nerve tissue. I knew the target drones weren't slow, but they looked cumbersome. I needed intel before proceeding.
I said, "What did you do to Art?"
That wasn't the intel I needed, but it was the intel I wanted.
Target One cocked its head inquiringly and bared sharp teeth. Another possible cosmetic modification or genetic variance. Target One said,
"You're babbling, poor thing."
Target Two, in almost the same tone, said, "These creatures seem to have no control over their vocalizations." I was aware of Amina, watching me with wide eyes, both hands pressed to her mouth. Casualties One and Two, still behind her, stared at me in confusion. I clarified, "This transport, what did you do to the bot pilot?" Art was so much more than a bot pilot, but I didn't have a word for what it was. Target Two sighed and folded its arms, like I'd asked a stupid question. Target One grinned at me maliciously. It didn't know who I was, what I was. It might not even know who Art was, but it knew I cared, and it was going to enjoy what it said next.
"We deleted it, of course."
I felt my face change. The muscles were all stiff, and not from the hit I'd taken. I'm still not great at controlling my expressions, and I had no idea what I looked like. Behind her hands, Amina whispered,
"Oh, shit.
Oh, this one looks angry," Target One said.
Target Two said,
"How boring. Angry, then afraid, then dead. Boring, boring, boring."
Target One began,
"You belong to us now, all of you. This is what's going to happen. You will tell us."
I grabbed Target One's face. Not my best strategic attack, but the quickest way to shut it up. Using its face as a handle, I slung it sideways into the couch, built against the bulkhead. Target Drone One came at my head. It was fast, but I was ready this time. I ducked sideways, and as it stopped and reversed to come back at me, I put my fist through it. I slammed it against the side of the hatch to break the remnants off my hand as I turned. Target Two actually looked at the other two target drones at this point, obviously wondering why they hadn't responded. The good thing about being a construct is that I can have a dramatic emotional breakdown while still running my background search to find the drone key commands. I'd had a hit and a responding ping from the target drones right when Target One had called me boring. Irony is great. I sent the order to power down, and they dropped to the deck with two loud thunks. Target Two's gray face went surprised, then furious. It was kind of funny. This was a point where if I was a human, ick, I might have laughed. I decided to go with my first inclination and kill the shit out of some ass-faced hostiles instead. I told the targets, "Angry, then afraid, then dead. Is that the right order?" Casualty One whispered,
"Oh, deity, that's a..."
Target One, flailing on the couch, reached for something that was clearly a weapon, clipped to the suit plate on its thigh. I lunged forward and had its wrist before it could close around the weapon. This turned out to be a trick, because it slapped its free hand on my shoulder and I felt a stab of pain from an energy weapon. Target One grinned at me with its whole face. Projectiles hurt, but energy weapons just piss me off. I crushed the wrist I was holding and twisted, caught the arm with the energy weapon and snapped it. The arm. The weapon, a clunky tube-shaped device about 10 centimeters long, clattered to the deck. Target One shrieked in a combination of rage and disbelief that did not make me any less mad. Target Two, with what I have to say was an entirely misplaced confidence, stepped in and shoved another energy weapon at my chest. I was moving so fast that later I had to run my video back to analyze my performance. I shoved Target One away and smashed an elbow into Target Two's face. I tore the energy weapon out of Target 2's hand along with a few fingers, stabbed the weapon into its chest. It didn't have a sharp end, but I made do, and ripped a large hole. Then I used the weapon and the large hole to lift Target 2 up and slam it into the upper bulkhead. 3 times. Fluid and pieces went everywhere. That was satisfying. I think I'll do it again. But I'd taken too long, and it gave Target 1 time to scramble up and bolt for the hatch. I started to follow, but then registered that Amina was bellowing,
"Sec unit, look!"
at me. I looked. On the deck, the 2 remaining Target drones were flashing awkwardly placed lights. They were powering up. I sent a power down order, but the key wasn't working anymore. I stomped the first one with a boot, and then caught the second as it lifted off. I smashed it on a chair, accidentally taking out a display surface in the process. The 2 casualties were yelling agitatedly at Amina, and I had to run back my audio to understand. Casualty 1 grabbed Amina's arm and said,
"You have to come with us. We have to get away. Try to hide."
This close. Though Art's primary feed still wasn't working, I could pick up some info from her interface. Feed name, Elytra. Gender, female. And an employee ID from a corporation called Barish Estranza. Casualty 2, feed name, Ross. Gender, male, and another Barish Estranza employee ID.
"Quick, before they send more drones."
He threw a look at me. I knew that look.
"With your sec unit, we have a chance."
Amina turned to me.
"We should go with them."
I'd already sent a restart command to my dormant drones. Target 1 wasn't hard for them to track since it was wounded, leaking fluid and shrieking. You know, if you don't want to be manually eviscerated with your own energy weapon, then maybe you shouldn't go around killing research transports and antagonizing rogue sec units. I told Amina, "I have something I need to finish off."
"There are too many drones,"
Elytra insisted. Her gaze went from Amina to me and back again. She wasn't sure who she had to convince.
"You have to come with us."
Amina took a step toward me, wincing as she put weight on her damaged leg.
"Are they right? Can you tell if the drones are coming for us?"
Target 1 ran through the hatch into the crew meeting area below the bridge. The crew meeting area where I'd spent most of my time with Art, where we watched World Hoppers. My drones caught video of another hostile already in there, designated Target 3. Standing on the steps that led up to the control deck. The hatch into the meeting area started to slide down. 8 of my drones reached the hatch in time to dart under just before it closed. The humans weren't wrong about the Target drones, which weren't responding to my key commands anymore, which meant there was a highly motivated controlling system somewhere that had pushed through a quick security update. I still had access to the Target's feed, and from the encrypted traffic, somebody was telling the Target drones to do something, which most likely involved converging on our position to kill us. I said, "Probably." Amina waved her hands impatiently.
"Then let's go!"
I tried cutting off the Target drone's control feed. It confused some, but others still seemed to be receiving orders. There were obviously parts of this system I couldn't access. Working within it was like trying to operate a projectile weapon when someone had shot half my fingers off. All the data needed to be converted to other formats. Nothing was right. It was a pain in the ass. To take full control of it, I was going to have to start at the beginning with penetration testing. Exasperated, Ross said,
"Just give it an order."
Amina snapped,
"It doesn't take orders."
I'd wanted to do this up close and personal, but that wasn't an option. The 8 drones now inside the control deck with Targets 1 and 3 were on standby near the floor in surveillance positions. Target 1 had collapsed against a padded station chair, panting, both damaged arms hanging uselessly. Target 3 stepped down to an inactive display surface and activated it with a hand gesture. Weird to see a human or whatever these were do it manually. They hadn't set their non-standard encrypted feed to access Art's systems yet. Target 3 said on the all-ship comm,
"Intruders, escapees, slice them open like..."
The translator fizzled on the last few words, so I guess I'd never know what I'd be sliced open like. I cut one drone out of the swarm of eight to observe and gave the others their instructions. With the protective suit and the partial helmets, I needed to aim for the exposed face. Target 3 had time to make a gurgling noise, and Target 1 a gaspy scream. My seven drone contacts winked out one by one. Drone 8 continued to record, sending me video of the bodies jerking helplessly, then finally dropping in leaking sprawls to the deck.
"But that's a SEC unit," Ross protested.
Elytra, her expression increasingly desperate, listened to the calm announcement and its abrupt end.
"We have to go!"
Amina limped forward another step. She grabbed my arm and glared up at me.
"Listen to me!"
I looked down at her and made deliberate eye contact, because she had almost all my attention right now, and the last person, Target, who had done that was still dripping down the bulkhead behind me. She was too self-absorbed or brave or some combination of both to realize what she was doing was not smart. She set her jaw and said,
"We have to go with them. Now!"
I gently peeled her small hand off my jacket and said, "Never touch me again." Amina blinked and pressed her lips together, then turned to Elytra and Ross.
"Let's go."
Elytra stepped toward the hatch.
"This way," Ross said. "Is that thing going to listen?"
I stepped past Elytra and out the hatch in time to catch the Target drone waiting there. I slammed it into the bulkhead and shook the remnants off my hands. Following Art's schematic, I said, "This way." They followed me. Chapter 5. I called in most of my drones to take scouting positions ahead and cover positions behind us. I was taking the long way around toward medical. The dim corridor lights brightened as we went by, an autonomic reflex. For a human, it would have been like seeing a dead body twitch. Art wasn't here. There was no sign of its drones. But some of its lower-level functions were active, the code running even without the controlling intelligence. An intruder system, probably some kind of bot pilot, had changed the security key for the Target drones, and it must be guiding the ship through the wormhole. Transports just can't do that on autopilot, at least according to Worldhoppers and all the other shows about ships that I'd watched, that Art had wanted to watch. I designated the intruder as Target Control System. I hoped it was sentient enough to hurt when I killed it. I had a lot of work to do before that point, and the image of the steaming bodies of Targets 1 and 3 inside Art's pristine control area was taking up way too much processing space. I had a few scout drones still in the corridors near the control area, and I told them to start mapping any motion and anomalous activity and plot it to my copy of Art's schematic. I had to find a way to advance detect the Target drones. A drone, designated Scout 2, parked on the ceiling of the foyer outside the crew meeting area, picked up activity. More targets converged on the foyer and tried to get the hatch open, but Target 3 had apparently used a manual emergency control to seal it from the inside. The new targets, let's call them 4, 5, and 6, fumbled around with the controls but didn't seem to know how to undo the seal. And whatever was going on with their weird feed and target control system, they couldn't seem to access Art's systems with it. Art was dead. I wanted to stop and lean my head against the bulkhead, but There was no time. Behind me, my drone saw Elytra had an arm around Amina's waist, helping her walk. Ross limped too, trying to watch behind us and keep an eye on me at the same time. All three were either shivering or sweating from what was probably shock. Right. Humans. Humans with needs. Mensa's juvenile human, and the two new humans who were obviously hurt. Murderbot, you need to get your act together. Do you know how many targets are aboard? I said.
Targets? Ross repeated.
It means the gray people,
Amina said, gritting her teeth as she put weight on her bad leg.
I've seen five, but I don't know if that's all,
Elytra said.
At least five,
Ross agreed. They had a lot of those bots, drones, whatever they are. We should try to get to the engineering module. Tell your sec unit.
It doesn't listen to me, I told you, Amina said, exasperated.
I'd already identified six total targets, with three still active, counting the messily dead ones. So the human's intel was useless, not a surprise. I arranged the drone scouts in front of us into a cloud formation and sent them ahead with their scan functions tuned all the way up. Scout 2 showed me that targets 4, 5, and 6 had stopped ineffectually poking at the hatch. They were hastily adjusting their protective suits, sliding plates, reconfiguring their helmets to cover their whole heads. That was a problem. Seven drones to kill two targets had been overkill, though one target had already been wounded. Say, seven to kill 1.5 targets. Especially when my supply of drones was limited. I had no real intel on how good their armor was at deflecting drones, and trying to find out might mean wasting another squad.